And if so, does anyone have any questions, comments, concerns, edits? Go for it.
The risk of opening up previous discussions. Katrina, you probably would be able to answer my questions best. How much did the pilot program cost for the culturally specific assistance?
For the tenant protection team?
Yes, for the tenant protections team.
$250,000.
And are there numbers on how many people were assisted during the pilot, or is it the pilot still ongoing? Oh, it's not a pilot? Okay. Sorry, it was characterized as a pilot, so maybe I'm misspeaking.
Katrina, you're cutting out.
So,
Katrina, are you still there?
Hey, hello?
Yeah, we can hear you again. Go ahead.
So the number sort of depend on the type of organization that we're partnered with and the year, of course. So,
sure.
For example, a social services organization that has a little bit more social service infrastructure like SEI tends to have a higher volume, between 100 and 150 people are served each year. For places like APANO, which is more of an advocacy organization, and community building space, those tend to range between 40 and 60. And then same with IRCO, community, immigrant refugee community organization, since it has social service structures, et cetera, it tends to be on the higher end, close to like 80 to 100 plus. Now, I will say, I think the difficulty isn't necessarily, or I should say that number is reflective of how many people my staff is able to serve. It does not reflect the need. So, for example, we have one person per site, or right now, I'm sorry, it's one person for every two sites. So that means that they serve technically more people to spend less time, and sometimes they have to say no if there's more volume. So, does that make sense?
Yeah. Have you guys been able to quantify the need at all when you're looking at like service levels? Or have you been able to quantify the need, like, or when you're looking at service levels, or how much those particular programs need to be invested in? Do you know what it would take to get it to
on the rescue price hotline? Yes, I think we're still sort of evaluating the tenant protection team. What I can say is we're able to serve maybe one out of three or four people that ask for support to the tenant protection team. And for rescue price hotline, it's like one for every 10. So I think the volume's around 26,000 incoming calls per year, and we serve between 2 to 3 each year from 25 different counties.
Okay, so would you say then, so you're meaning about 30% of the need for the tenants protection program currently then, is kind of what you're saying. So you would probably...
I would say closer to the 20-ish.
Oh, okay. Okay. So when you're thinking budget-wise, I mean, and infrastructure around that, are you saying that if you're saying closer to 20% that you need 5 times the current level of funding for in order for it to be effective? Or is that?
The most effective setup for tenant protection team is to have at least 1 to 2 people per site that handle volume and sort of public facing work that happens in those jurisdictions or in those specific organizations. So, for example, APANO does a lot of public facing work with the J District. I can't remember the name of the market, but there's a market that happens once every Sunday or a couple Sundays a month. There's another event that they do some door knocking. So, it just really depends on the site, and because each site is so unique, it's best to have at least one person there. Right now, we have 3 different sites, and there are 4 other sites that are asking for replacement.
Okay. Thanks, Katrina.
You're welcome.
So Margot texted me to add her to the list. Just let her go before we get to Yoni.
So my turn?
Yep.
Okay. So I apologize, I'm multitasking a little bit while I'm calling in, but my understanding is that we're reading the letter to the city and the Housing Bureau, and first just talking about whether we think this is, these letters representing the good way to represent the will of the body, or are we talking about the actual content of the letter?
Both.
Okay. So I guess the first thing I want to just flag is that I do not see the mayor being in any way respondent to any, if the letter sent to him from this body, or the fact that this body's been doing work. Like, I have to say, when I went to council on Wednesday for the fair hearing, the mayor looked like it was the first time he'd ever heard about the ordinance. And I mean, clearly that's not true. But, you know, said things like, this is really complicated to me, and I'm going to have to go talk to people who know more than me about it. And now is, you know, raising a bunch of issues and concerns that, you know, he had ample opportunity to raise in the past year. And so I don't know how we should be communicating with him, but it made me really, irate about the time that we are giving to this commission and the time going into writing those communications and the utter lack of responsiveness from his office. So I just want to kind of register that, and I'm not saying we should necessarily do anything differently, but it doesn't really seem to matter what we do at this juncture. With respect to what's in the letter to the city and the commissioners, I feel like it's a little premature because we have some conversations and, you know, the extended landlord training, the Crystal Assistant Tenant Assistance and Voluntary Mediation were all on our list of things that we wanted, but that's not a complete list of things, and I don't feel like we took, like, an informed, like, vote, you know, to say these three things, you know, at the expense of the other things. So it's a little premature to me. In particular, you know, I don't see anything in here that, you know, asks for more overall services to be provided by the rental services office, like in-house, except for the voluntary mediation. And with respect to, you know, devoting the fees to the tenant assistance or the tenant protection program, I fully support the program based on, like, what I have heard about it, which is mostly through the public testimony 2 meetings ago. But I don't feel good saying that should be the top priority for the fee until we actually see a description of what it is and what it does and how much it costs and what services are provided and some compelling argument for why, you know, that should still be the mechanism for providing these services and, you know, not say doing them in house or something like that. I just feel like so much of the rental services office budget is goes to nonprofit contractors, all of whom are doing great work in the community, but we just don't really, you know, I just don't feel like that there's a lot of transparency there in terms of what those dollars are actually funding and whether or not that is the best way for those services to be provided. So I'd like to see more details on at least the TPT, because that's a very specific thing we're asking for in this letter. So before we specifically ask for that in this letter, as though the whole body has had the information it needs to make that recommendation, I'd like us to actually get that information to make that recommendation.
So I can reply to a few parts of that. Margaret, I hear what you're saying about feeling frustrated that the group's recommendations don't seem to be having enough of, that they don't reflect the amount of time that this group is putting into this work.
I can work with Matt to meet with Cupid with this next set of letters and have a conversation about what the commission discussed and where they landed as a group. And hopefully this could be a step towards making sure this group feels like their time is being valued and that their voice is being heard as a reflection of their role. I think that there's a little bit of a delicate balance that we're trying to strike with timing. I think both staff and I've heard from multiple commission members would like to have a long and in-depth conversation about holistically what is the rental services office, what services does it offer, how does it offer those services, what are the results of the services, are there areas we could make improvements or align with priorities in better ways. And I think that there's a strong amount of interest in that conversation. There's also currently a work plan that spans into the next 6 to 9 months. And so I think that that's a balance for this group to grapple with as it sets agendas. And then there's the reality that the city makes its funding decisions once a year, and that we are at that moment where in the next month the city will be announcing at least a draft of a budget for the next year. And so there's an effort to time the amount of time the commission has had to have these conversations with the ability to have an impact, particularly if this is the first time a fee is set. And so I think that that kind of lands on the balance that the commission has ended up having on the amount of time it's had for discussion on these items and the level of depth it was able to get, which hasn't been as deep as I think anyone would have wanted. So that might help a little bit.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I don't want to get in the way of the timing. I guess I just, maybe it's just the wording of the letter, you know, the expanded landlord training, expanded culture-specific tenant assistance, and the voluntary mediation program is pretty high need priorities. I feel like we were like, oh, those would all be great, but I don't know that the conversation happened that said these are, like, the high need priorities of these are the vehicles that best. So maybe it's just rephrasing it a little bit. It says, you know, we were presented with these as three options and we all thought they sounded great as well as other options. But I personally feel like this puts us out a little bit ahead of our skis in terms of the, you know, the conversations at least that I was, you know, privy to about this, and I worry about what, you know, won't be funded as a result of this overemphasizing our agreement and priorities on what should be funded. So it's just about changing the language a little bit, or maybe it doesn't get changed at all, and I've just registered my comments, and that's all.
So, Margo, this is Ian. There was a conversation that we had around, I think two meetings ago, we threw a bunch of items up. Andres captured those on the big screen. Then I think that the process there were some items that were bolded or underlined where there was a degree of consensus or agreement among, or maybe if not agreement, just many people had raised that item. Are you comfortable? I mean, so, and I'm trying to think here about this, the many delicate balances we're trying to strike, one of which is having something that's actually usable and that isn't 10 pages long, but also that reflects the input of the group. Does it feel sufficient to you to say among the many issues we discussed were these, or that we dove deep specifically on these because there was at least overlap among many members? Like, I am shying away a little bit from saying, and in addition to these three big items we also discussed, and then just throw that list on there, just because it, I don't know if it dilutes is the right word, but it you know, draws attention differently from the subsequent conversation we had, which was the focus of the last
meeting.
Yeah,
I feel like, sorry.
I'm
just going to add to Ian's comment. I think, and from my understanding of our explanation, letter over the past meetings thus far has been that the letter is going to reflect where there were areas of consensus and the areas that are presented in the letter are areas of consensus based off the conversation. I do not think the letter is intended to describe the exhaustive list or a list of the discussions that came forth out of, or a list of the items that came out of that discussion.
Right, so what I attempted to do is separate that into two letters. Just keep all of the ideas in a letter to inform the Bureau Director, so the Bureau is aware of the items that were raised, all of the items that were raised in the discussion for the Commission, and then to send Council, I think Ian characterized it similarly to how I would, items that were raised multiple times in the first conversation, meaning multiple Commission members brought it up. We had, even in that moment, a degree of conversation about what would this look like, how would it work. So it seemed like there was sustained interest from the group in diving into those further, which is what we spent the next meeting doing.
Thank you for that clarification. I have to say, and I'm really sorry about this, and I'm worried that it's going to come off the wrong way. I'm really uncomfortable with the recommendation that we fully fund the TPT through Community Alliance of Tenants. Everything I heard about the TPT sounds great. One of the concerns I raised at the last thing was, can that happen in-house, or can it also happen in-house? And it's nothing against Community Alliance of Tenants. It's mostly about, I still just don't actually know what the program is and who it serves people and how it serves them, and I can't find any information about it online. And I'm not convinced that it can't, that the same services couldn't happen, in-house, or scale to serve more people if they were done in a different way. And maybe in politics, but the co-chair of this commission is the executive director for Community Alliance.
I'd like to intervene real quick.
We're writing a letter saying to specifically, can fund that organization to do this service, and we haven't even seen exactly what that pays for. And it is at the expense of, I don't think we're going to get the, I don't know what the budget ask is for voluntary mediation, but I assume it'll be more than the mayor's office is, willing to even consider. And so I feel like it's going to be one more year where the rental services office continues to not have in-house services that tenants, plenty of also very just as vulnerable tenants who access the TBT. There's plenty of them out there who aren't plugged into these various organizations, and myself as a tenant advocate doesn't even know how to plug them into the TPT. If I could say, hey, call the rental services office, they will do these things for you, or those tenants actually just, go to the city's website and find out there's a rental services office, and they go in and can actually get those services. I just think we need that, and I think we need to have a conversation about why all the services are being farmed out to nonprofits, all of whom have a person at this table. And again, I love people and I love the work, everybody's doing good work. I just feel like we still don't have an Office of Rental Services offering these to people who can't get through the gates of the nonprofits.
Okay, Margo, I'm gonna pause and let Yoni offer a response, and I wanna say a couple words.
Hi, Margo, this is Yoni. I have to respectfully disagree with your characterization. I think, number one, the tenant protections team is doing an incredible job at CAT, and it was the first of its kind, and it was succeeded by the housing collaborative between LASSO, Fair Housing, El Programa, and the Urban League. And it's a model that's picking up steam. I think it's very hard to quantify who's not calling and who's not getting access. And the point of these models is contract through nonprofits who have inroads to culturally specific communities where there are pre-existing relationships of trust, where there aren't barriers for people to come forward, whether that's at CAT, ERCO, the Urban League, El Programa, and provide those organizations with the resources because they already have the relationships of trust. I think that we recreate all of the systemic barriers that keep people from reporting fair housing and other violations when you require them to contact the government directly. I think people who have been discriminated against through periods and decades of bad policy that did not take into account their individual needs of a community, I think that that's left a lot of folks unwilling to contact the government directly. And that's why this model works. And both to Jessica and Margot's points about quantifying and budget and all this other stuff, the truth is, we don't know who's not reporting. What we know is that there is severe underreporting. And this program, as well as the one with Fair Housing and LASSO and the Urban League, is an opportunity to develop a sense of the new places that we can unearth housing discrimination that is not currently coming forward. If you centralize that in one place, then you run into the same issue, because right now you can call up HUD and report fair housing violations. But I got a lot of people that I know don't really want to talk to Ben Carson's folks. And that's not to compare HUD or PHP. I'm just saying there's a lot of hesitation on the part of community members to approach government entities who they implicate as being responsible for some of the bad policy making. So I love the first letter. I think that if possible, I would like to specifically add the LASSO, FHCO, Urban League, and El Programa pilot program as a second succeeding opportunity. And I think if we focus on areas of budget and you really want to calculate how much are we spending per call, you're missing the larger picture here, which is that we're not getting calls from particular communities because they are afraid to come over. They are living in the shadows and they are afraid to pick up the phone. So we're trying to find valid community relationships and provide the resources that way. As for the second letter, the only thing I would add is if we could add a recommendation for a landlord hotline, where landlords have the opportunity to call up either an independent contractor, nonprofit, or some centralized line, and they can have their questions addressed about issues of housing to prevent discrimination and to prevent landlord-tenant violations before they start. Thank you.
Can I respond directly for just a moment?
Sure.
I'm afraid I was really misinterpreted. I did not mean to say that the tenant protection program isn't doing great work or that it should all be in-house. And because everything you said makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I appreciate you for saying it, but I definitely agree that it's really, really important that people have ways to access these services that don't require going to the government. And I'm not trying to quantify like the time per call. We're making a direct ask here for a program, you know, under CAT that we have not I haven't even seen like a paragraph explanation of it in writing somewhere. You know, this money is being used in the following way for these things and providing these services. Like we had the people who came and testified who said it's really helped me, and that was great. That was very compelling to me. But I said at the time, I didn't even know that this program existed. And so before we say, city, let's fund it, can we at least get like a basic one-pager on what it is and what the funding is for? It's the fact that we're just saying it must be great because a few people came to council and told us it was great, and that is like the bar for this.
So I'm just going to go ahead and say this has been a long conversation between CAT and PTU for a long time. I would just ask that this conversation be taken offline so that we can start our discussion for today.
Well, I wonder, just really, really quick.
MPTU,
Hold on one second.
I'm on the Rental Services Commission as a private citizen, and I'm concerned about the letter that we're sending as the Rental Services Commission.
Hey, Margo, hold on for one second. So I think I kind of get where Margo is coming from and is in just general governmental policy, I guess. I think on one level I do kind of agree. It's not up to us to determine what organization or what office is, you know, whether it's awarded a grant or is hired by the city or anything. I mean, there's already a process for vetting that out and awarding funds to private or nonprofit organizations, private, public, nonprofit organizations that may win that bid or whatever to do that. So, Margot, would it get at kind of the heart of what you're saying if we decided maybe we wanted to draft a letter that doesn't actually call out a specific organization, just calls out to help provide funding for, you know, I mean, we'll let Andreas figure out the wonderful complicated wording, but calls out some of the funding to go towards tenant, you know, support or protection programs of some sort, so that we're not like, so it's not like we're giving a recommendation that we want money to go towards solving this goal, and FYI, we want you to put it in this specific pocket. Is that kind of getting towards what you're attempting to get across, Margot?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just, before we make this recommendation, as though we all know exactly what the TPT does, can we, you know, let's say that we support, you know, the services that we, you know, that witness testimony has told us they provide and would like to see those services, you know, continue and be expanded. But I just, yeah, I feel uncomfortable saying, we want to fund this program through this organization when at least, I'm sorry if I have missed the memo, but I still don't know exactly what the TPT does. I'm not saying it doesn't do great work. I just don't know what that work is. And it feels like we've been kind of vague about it, you know, landlord training, voluntary mediation, where we kind of spell out the, you know, the things, like the problems that would be addressed, or, you know, the services that those would provide, the needs that those would meet, and then it CAT TPT program, you know, is awesome, and so let's keep funding it, because it's important, and I just feel like we need to at least know, and I'm not just getting that, you know, paragraph or one page or whatever is enough for me, like, to sign up on it. It's just like,
Hold on real quick, because
asking more questions about what services that is and isn't providing, and then making sure that by suggesting that we know what's covered. And
Ken, Margo,
and aren't dismissing things that aren't covered because we didn't ask those questions.
Right. So really quick, and please, someone jump up if. They're opposed, and Laura, I'll come Laura and Jessica will get to you guys. I feel like there should be a way to word this that focuses on, there should be an emphasis on funding to accomplish these goals or provide these services, whether you word that as just general tenant education, support, and protection, or however you want to word it. We should be able to focus on the goal and the service, and not specifically who's providing it. As on one level, I mean, we do talk about landlord education in there. It wouldn't be, it's really not, I don't think it's all that different, mentioning CAT in the tenant side, than Deborah or my landlord support education organizations being listed on that landlord side, which I don't think I would even feel right about if it was mine that was in there. So I mean, I feel like that shouldn't be too difficult to.
Yeah. So I think that this conversation shows that I have muddled the waters in how I wrote the letter. So my intent in the draft, which hopefully will help clear things up, is for each of these areas, there are two paragraphs. The first paragraph is background. The second paragraph is recommendations. So when you look at the expanded landlord training, the first paragraph is the background of the landlord training for the city of Portland. The second paragraph is why an expanded landlord training is being recommended by the Rental Services Commission. The expanded culturally specific tenant assistance program talks about the Community Alliance of Tenants program because it has been a way that culturally specific tenant assistance has been provided in the city. And the second paragraph was intended, when I wrote this, to convey that there is a desire to support services for culturally specific tenant assistance in the city of Portland. So I did include information about CAT in the first paragraph because I felt for council it might be helpful context to understand where this idea came from and what it has looked like in a form of implementation for the city. But the same way as how in expanded landlord training, the recommendation is not find the original vendor and double their contract. It's there's a need here, and that should be met through continued funding. My intent in writing the culturally specific tenant assistance section was to echo, there is a need, council, here is information about what that has looked like so far. The commission is recommending that there be more assistance in this area. And to Christian's point, there are roles and processes. The city goes through a process when it has funding of determining an RFP, of identifying a vendor that meets predetermined city goals. Before that, there's a process of deciding whether a service would be provided in-house or out-of-house, which has to do more with how the Housing Bureau as a bureau operates, less on a contract-specific level. And many of those are conversations that the Rental Services Commission can weigh in on as an advisory body to the Bureau and more specifically to the Rental Services Office. But its role as an advisory body isn't to select contract recipients, isn't to decide who receives which contract, or to be making those decisions. So I hope that helps clarify things.
So I want to pause. Is the follow-up from Jessica and Laura on this point, or do you feel like Andres' response meets your needs?
Well, I had a comment about the letter. That's what we were asked to.
I think your question is your follow-up on the specific individual topic that was just on, are you going to introduce a new topic for us?
Well,
about the letter.
Clarify though what I was saying earlier, if that's okay. I just want to say,
when
I'm looking at this, I'm looking at it from a point of, can we do all these things well? Because we want to be able to roll this out in a way that is effective and fully funded. And I'm also in the back of my mind, honestly, keeping in mind what the rental registration fee will end up being to make sure that it's palatable. And if we're going to make these recommendations, we want to make it workable, right? And so that's why I'm asking these questions around numbers and all of that. So, okay.
Thank you.
Laura?
So I guess my response is both.
Okay. All yours. Go for it.
So my initial comment was about the second line in the letter.
Which
to the mayor and commissioners. The RSC did not take up the question of whether to have a registration fee. So I think you might want to update that because we have taken up that issue. We haven't resolved it, but we've addressed it. So, I mean, that's just, that's that. And then as to the content of both letters and whether or not that's satisfactory in terms of going to council, I think that both letters were really well written. Thank you, Andres. I agree with Andres's point about how he wrote the letter to Mayor Wheeler and the commissioners. I think it's both important and valid to recognize projects that have been done and funded and done well in a certain area. So I don't have any issue with referencing what CAT did. And this clearly doesn't say, give CAT another contract, please. You know. To Jessica's point about doing it and doing it well, I sort of feel like we're, with the deadline of the budget conversation coming up at the City Council, to get them this full scope of recommendations that says, this is really what we think the priorities are that need to do, gives the council an opportunity to say, whoa, that's a big chunk of change, and we don't know if we can do it all. So we're not going to necessarily get budget to do all of this, but we don't ask for it all. We're going to get less than what we could get. And so I think that both of these letters do an effective job at getting out the recommendations that we need to get out for a couple different reasons. And I'm happy to call Cupid and say, did the mayor read that letter?
And just to reiterate what you were saying, and kind of to Jessica's point, it's kind of, you know, this isn't the first time that something like this in a local municipality has happened. It's kind of the same story. We're going to meet as a committee. We're going to come up with, here's our wish list, and we should keep it to a wish list. I agree with Laura. You know, we shouldn't hold anything back because we assume the city isn't going to step up and put the manpower and budget behind it. And then we should not be surprised when we don't get anything close to everything we asked. And then we reconvene and we try to give an opinion on, well, with what limited budget we did get, this is what we should try to do. And this is what our priorities should be. Those that are in staff positions or have been on a few committees and in nonprofits that may have ran into things like this, I assume you probably agree with me that's really what we're looking at. I mean, we need to make sure, you know, I don't want to pull anything back just because we think they can't follow through. Let's let them come back and say, this is all you got to work with. So best of luck. And then we have that discussion of if we're even granted that ability to have that discussion at that time is the other question mark. So I think Deborah was next, right?
Deborah, do you mind if you go to Alan?
No,
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Okay. As in the transition, but I'm thinking back to our discussion of the construction and whether we'll be able to get what we want based on our conception of a future. If we are saying that we can do certain things to not pay a full fee for the year, that is limiting what we'll be able to do with the windows and service condition. So I'm really concerned about the language that we're using around diminishing the fee for years. There are ways that we talk about our current economic system that really stack against us, and I would think we are perpetuating that with the way we're talking about future. I think we need a full fee per year without the allowances for doing things the right way. I'm not suggesting the right way anyway. The people that my space was coming. So.
If I'm understanding correctly, the thought was that it should just be just a flat, spread it evenly amongst all units, rather than, you know, risk the budget being out of whack, so to speak, if, say, all of a sudden 50% of the landlords in the city qualify for it being waived or something like that. Definitely.
Yep. Just the way you were talking about it to the human, but often this works out, but can you see that it should be paid?
And I think what you're saying aligns with what we've heard from revenue as well, which is this is how we landed on a flat or as close to flat fee as possible, because you can take a total amount and know how much or estimate how much you'll receive. If people are having reductions to that fee, it makes the end amount of money less certain. Yeah.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, Andres, the explanation you gave about the first paragraph and the second paragraph was really helpful for me. I wanted to tweak a little bit what Laura said about the sentence. While we've discussed the amount of the fee, I feel very confident that no one asked me about whether I thought there needed to be a fee or not. So I think that line should probably be left in there.
Well, I think it's also a decision that's already been made, right? The directive from council was to the Bureau develop a system of some sort, right? So to a certain extent, it's a non-issue for us.
I think it's fair to say we did not ask the commission.
I mean, I guess technically we could make the recommendation that their one-time, one-year funding is plenty and there's no fee and it just goes away. But I'm thinking that we'll actually get into
a
letter and go there.
I'm not thinking
that's
such a good idea.
Yeah, I'm thinking that won't. So yes, we have to discuss this as though a fee is impending. Let's see. Laura, did you still?
Oh.
I think that's three times in one meeting.
I know.
Yeah, I keep track of those things. All right. Any other questions, comments on the letters? Hearing no one jump on it, then Andreas, why don't you talk to us about next steps?
Sounds good. So we've gone over the work plan a few times, so I'm not going to go over it again. As you can see, the next meeting is now going to be spent talking about the quality of rental housing work group amendments. I talked to Beth, who is the division manager who's managing this project, and her idea of a high-level overview would be to identify from the recommendations the work group met. So the Quality of Rental Housing work group created a report. From that, BDS identified which items from the report they could implement. And they have then taken some of those and turned some of them into code changes and intend to address others through administrative rule. So they will give you some idea of what that looks like, as well as the timeline of the project is what they're thinking of providing as a guide. So I wanted to close the loop and let you know about that. And if anyone has any other questions about the work plan, I can answer them. Otherwise, those are the next steps.
All right. Then I believe.
Can I just say one thing,
Matt?
Just
what are you doing to me?
Keep you here,
Matt.
For
what are you doing?
A minute longer. Just in the context of the contracts, if any of the commission members or any of the public want to know the scope of any of our contracts, the Rental Services Office or the Housing Bureau, or the deliverables of those contracts, they can always feel free to contact myself or Kim McCarty, and we can provide that information.
Perfect. Thank you.
And I just wanted to say that we're a group that for a year now has had some tough discussions, some easy discussions, some smiles and some laughs at times. So I appreciate folks bringing tough items to the commission. I encourage that to keep happening. Ultimately, when we walk away, we're walking away as individuals. And I think that we can all appreciate the respectful tone and the way that we discuss hard topics and come to hard decisions.
Thank you, Ian. Okay. Without further ado, I believe we are adjourned. See you guys next month.
Is that 3 months now?
Huh?
3 months ending early?
Yeah.
Don't.